False Pretenses, written by Menfina and read by Flower Parish. This is a Transformers fic, rated for teen and up audiences, featuring the relationships Blaster/Jazz, Jazz/Soundwave, Blaster/Jazz/Soundwave. Summary. Jazz has wonderful news. She's fallen in love. For some strange reason, Blaster is less than impressed. Blaster's hydraulic lines screamed at him with exertion as he scaled the side of the building, his sights firmly set on the curtained window concealing his rendezvous point. Primus, but he couldn't wait for this mission to be over so that he could go home, settle his cassettes into his disconcertingly empty dock, and recharge for at least 10 hours. Reaching his destination, he gently cracked open the window. A cheerful humming registered in his audioles, the familiar electromagnetic signal easing the background level of worry that had been weighing his plating down since he'd had to separate from his partner for their mission. Without further ado, he dragged himself through the window frame and slumped on the other side. "Status?" Jazz asked from where she lounged leisurely on the berth. "So over it," Blaster replied. "But I got the data we needed and left him with a nasty virus to boot. With any luck, that'll gum up their works while we make sense of these files." "Hey, nice," Jazz grinned. She sat up from her sprawl and swung her legs over the edge of the berth, leaning back on her servos. Blaster made no attempt to hide the way he ran his optics over Jazz's frame. The bot had gone the whole 9 mechanometers to go undercover for this mission, with a brand new paint job and even swapping out some plating to further the disguise. Electric blue accents drew his gaze across stretches of freshly polished chrome. Blaster's optics lingered at the curves of her waist, and he stepped closer between Jazz's spread legs, itching to wrap his servos around it. A splash of mismatched color caught Blaster's optics. He rested his servos on Jazz's shoulders and stroked a digit gently against the dark blue scuff mark. "Got some action on your way back, did you?" Blaster couldn't blame her. It had been a long, boring stakeout before they executed their plan. Besides, he knew he'd get all the juicy details, and maybe even a reenactment if Jazz wasn't too spent. Jazz hummed noncommittally. "Not quite." Blaster narrowed his optics. "Before?" "And risk jeopardizing the mission? Blaster, please. I'm a professional." "That only left. Don't tell me you..." Jazz's faceplate was a carefully composed study in innocence. "You didn't." Jazz just grinned. Blaster sputtered as his vocalizer buffered. "That wasn't in the mission parameters." "Nah, well, sometimes a mech's just gotta think on her feet. I'm flexible like that, you know?" She winked. The pressure in Blaster's fuel lines skyrocketed. Honestly, one of these days, Jazz was going to send him into a full-blown spark arrest. "You were supposed to distract Soundwave, not seduce him." "Hey, I think I was plenty distracting. Thank you very much. Come on, babe, sit down before you fall down," Jazz said, tugging on Blaster's servo until he sagged onto the berth next to her. "Now stop bumming me out. I wanted to tell you all about my night. It was out of this world, Blaster. Downright magical." Jazz's faceplate softened. Blaster stared at her, processor looping in disbelief. She looked genuinely wistful. "And was that..." Blaster's servo darted out and grabbed Jazz's chin. He leaned closer, optics locked on the faint scuff mark marring Jazz's lower lip. "Did that fragger kiss you?" "No," Jazz replied. Blaster didn't trust for one second the sly tilt to her smile. "I kissed him." Blaster's processor helpfully drew up a mental image of Jazz pressing her lips against Soundwave's mask as the other mech stood completely stationary, stiff as a board. Blaster fought back through sheer force of will the surge of error codes that flooded his mind at the thought. "Swear to Primus, Blaster. The mech practically swept me off my feet. It started with drinks, but then we got to talking. And boy, can Soundwave talk when he's not focused on shooting out your tires. I could hardly believe it. And you have just about the same taste in music, you know. If you two could stand talking for more than 5 minutes without biting each other's heads off, I think you'd really hit it off. Anyway, one drink led to another, and another, and then I invited him out onto the dance floor. I was still waiting for your all-clear ping, you see. Had to keep his optics on me. And we danced for hours. That mech really knows how to run a nightclub. His nightclub. The nightclub that he's using to brainwash people. That nightclub. Jazz waved a servo dismissively. We'll put a lid on that soon enough. It's a half-cocked screamer scheme if I've ever seen one. But for real, Soundwave does not do things by halves. That place was bumping. Great tunes, great vibes. Hey, we should go back together sometime. You literally just said we were going to shut it down as soon as possible. You free tomorrow? Blaster's processor felt like it was melting. He idly dismissed an alert about his rising CPU temperature, his cooling fans whirring desperately. Aren't you forgetting something? Something important? Like what? Jazz said, looking really, truly confused. At this point, Blaster's struggling emotional processing routines couldn't determine if her wide, innocent optics were genuine or not. Primus, Blaster was losing his grip. This entire conversation felt like tumbling hood over tailpipe into a ravine. You can't frag Soundwave, you're you. Jazz scoffed, offended. This isn't about fragging, Blaster. Don't be crass. He asked if he could court me. For the first time in his life, Blaster felt as though he could fully sympathize with Red Alert. When his optics came online again after his momentary crash and the wave of error notifications faded from his HUD, Blaster made a mental note to buy the security director something nice. A state-of-the-art wiretap or something. Hey, you good, baby? Jazz's servos held Blaster bracingly by the shoulders as he swayed in place. You're looking a bit gray. Blaster grabbed at her servos, desperately. Jazz, you know I love you dearly. I'm saying this with all the love in my spark. You cannot court Soundwave. Please, tell me you realize that. She pouted. Why not? Why not? You're an Autobot and he's a Decepticon. Third in command of the Decepticons. Exactly. We're the same rank. No power imbalance or anything, Jazz said, beaming. But that's not. Blaster offlined his optics and forced a series of deep vents as his CPU sent another round of warning alerts across his HUD. Don't you think it's unfair to Soundwave to start a relationship under false pretenses? Blaster finally said, at the end of his rope. You were undercover. For all he knew, you were some random neutral he'd never met. Jazz laughed lightly once more, and Blaster's spark sunk deeper than it had for the entire train wreck of a conversation. Is that what you're worried about? Babe, Soundwave figured me out in the first 5 clicks. We're as real as it gets. Who were you supposed to call when the Autobots' third in command, head of special ops, lost her damn mind? Ratchet? Prowl? Hell, at this rate, Blaster was going to submit himself for medical leave right alongside her. Maybe it wouldn't be so bad, getting sedated and tied to a med berth. Probably peaceful. At least then he wouldn't have to grapple with the earnest, pleading look in Jazz's optics. Finally, just as Blaster was considering running a full diagnostic to check for any sort of processor damage that might result in a full-scale hallucination, Jazz rubbed her servos down Blaster's arms, massaging his tensed cables. Her faceplate had softened again, and despite it all, Blaster felt his spark give a little kick at the familiar look of love and affection. All right, I've had my fun, she said with a wry grin. I know it's crazy, and I probably should have given you more of a heads up, but I wasn't lying when I said we really hit it off. I'm no fool. I can tell when a mech's putting on a front, and I'm telling you, Soundwave was as sincere as OP when he really gets going on a speech. I told him about you, too, you know. She nudged Blaster playfully with her elbow. He seemed pretty interested, said something about getting to know you better. Oh, Primus, Blaster groaned, and dropped his helm into his servos. Don't drag me into this mess. Jazz chuckled, as unconcerned as always. Well, I guess you don't want to see your gift, then. Suspicious. Clearly bait. not worth it. What gift? He said, despite himself. The one Soundwave gave me to give to you. From her subspace, Jazz revealed a small white box, unadorned and unsealed. Don't worry, Jazz reassured as she handed him the package. I already scanned it. It's clean. With one final suspicious glare at Jazz, Blaster looked down at the box. Gingerly, he lifted the lid, and his vents caught involuntarily at the sight of a cassette tape sitting on a bed of tissue paper. It was inert, clearly, just one of the human devices that mimic a Cybertronian cassette's recording and playback functions. Still, the symbolism of the only other cassette carrier left alive gifting Blaster with a cassette was not lost on him. He held it gently in his servos, a torrent of conflicted emotion racing through his processor. The cassette was mostly blank, the only evidence of its origin a small, servo-written label. To Blaster, XOXO, Soundwave. Well, aren't you going to listen to it? Pop it in, baby. Blaster shook his head at Jazz's ribbing, but acquiesced, opening one of the ports that he'd had modified to play human-sized tapes. He slotted in the new tape and activated his built-in speakers. A fast-paced, electronic beat filled the small hotel room, and reluctantly, Blaster could see why Jazz thought they would appreciate each other's taste in music. The song picked up quickly, a human female voice singing along through the robotic distortion of a vocoder. Most of the lyrics went over his helm, references to Earth locations and figures that he had no frame of reference for. However, as the second verse faded into the chorus, the meaning of the song became painfully clear. It's a cruel, unforgivable world, and I hate to break it to you, but I'm taking you down. Blaster's jaw dropped. Heat flooded his frame, and he told himself firmly that it was due solely to rage. Jazz, who had already collapsed in a pile of breathless laughter at his side, was no help at all. As the song finally faded into silence and the next began to blare through his speakers, Blaster felt a strange calm come over his overwrought processor. There was only one appropriate response. I'm gonna kill him. The end.